Thank you. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God, saying that you deserve it, God. I don't know other way to say it, but Lord, you are worthy of every ounce of praise that we can give you, Lord. We honor you today, Father, because God, we realize that we are nothing without your presence, Lord. So we ask now that you would speak, that we, your people, might hear, that, Lord, some might be set free, delivered, God, healed, encouraged, God. Lord, we thank you so much, Father, for your word, because we realize that your word is true. So, Father, help us as we not only be hearers of your word, God, but Lord, we'll be doers of your word, Father. We honor you for who you are. We thank you for these, your people, God. We honor you for being majestic. We celebrate you not just on today, but Father, every day of the year, God, we celebrate you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and thank God. Help me celebrate Jesus. Just put your hands together one more time for him. Deacon Ross, it's good to see you this morning, brother. I thank God for you. Amen. It's always good to see you. Know that we're praying for you, and we still got our lunch date. All right? We got to get together. Amen. All right. Amen. We thank you, praise God, for everyone that's in attendance today, especially my friend over here, Deacon Ross, who's been a real support for me, and I thank God for him. I know that Deacon Ross praying for me, so I'm in good company. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you turn to the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. We're going to begin our reading at verse number 8, and we'll read through verse number 12. Luke, the second chapter, beginning at verse number 8, and it says, There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. As I mentioned on last week, that we're nowhere in Scripture been told to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But it is something that we have traditionally come to do. Again, Jesus' birthday was not on December 25th. But it's the time that we take to celebrate. But I contend with you that we should celebrate his birth every day of the year, because we do not know the actual birth of date of his birth. If we celebrate him all year long, we're bound to hit it. This text is perhaps one of the most preached sermons or text for a Christmas message. It embodies the worship and the praise that goes with the celebration of a king. And even though Jesus was not born in a palace, he had no real kingdom that he could put your hands on. His birth was that was befitting of a king. Because indeed, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came to show us a way that was not traditional at the time. He stated this several times, his kingdom is not of this world. But understand that it is an eternal kingdom. And along with that eternal kingdom, God has given us great joy. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The joy on the inside. The joy on the inside. We have come, we sing our songs of Zion. We sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Songs like Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. A classic hymn which embodies the theme of joy. It celebrates the goodness and the majesty of God. The lyrics express exuberant praise and gratitude and the unshakable joy found in God's presence. Listen to verse 1. It says, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening the sun above. This verse praises God as the source of joy and love, comparing our hearts in response to it like a flower that blooms in the sunshine. There's a joy that goes on the inside of us that is really unspeakable and full of glory. It is this joy that gives us strength from day to day. Because if anything that we need in this time is strength right now. And it takes the joy of the Lord that's on the inside of you. And it seems as though we have relegated joy to just a specific time of the year. You know, we like I say, we sing our songs of joy during this time of the year. But did you not know that joy is internal and eternal? In other words, it is something that's down on the inside of you that is really unexplainable. Can't really put our finger on it. But it's this peace, this contentment that we have, this confidence that we have in the Lord. It is not predicated on our external environment. In other words, you can have joy even in the midst of a storm. As a matter of fact, that's why the Bible tells that we're to go through difficult situations is with joy. James tells us to count it all joy when we encounter difficult times, difficult situations. Philippians tells us to rejoice, I say in the Lord, always rejoice in every circumstance, in every situation. All of us got a reason to give God praise. All of us have a reason to be joyful. You see, because the joy is on the inside. Not necessarily on the outside, but it's deep down inside. This is a joy that only God can give us. And understand that he gives it by way of the Holy Spirit. Because joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're walking around with your head bowed down, if you find yourself never being able to find any type of contentment or any type of peace, then maybe you're not exercising and walking in the joy that God has given us. You've got joy zappers out there that want to try to steal your joy. You have folk that really don't want to see you be joyful about anything. There are people that will go out of their way to make sure that you're not content or happy about anything. You don't have any type of joy or peace. You know, I'm glad you listen. You can take my happiness. I don't care. As long as I got joy on the inside. So let's take a look at this. Why is it that I have the joy that's on the inside? The reason why I have the joy and it's on the inside is because I have Christ living on the inside of me. Understand that Christ is linked to the joy in which we have. That's why I tell people that's unsaved, I'm sorry, but you can't experience this type of joy unless you have Christ living inside of you. You can be happy, but you can't have this type of joy. What does it mean to have joy on the inside? It refers to, listen, a deep and abiding sense of happiness, contentment, and peace that comes from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In its simplest form, that's what it is. Your joy is connected to your relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's why the angel could come and declare joy has come, a great joy has come. Why? Because Jesus is now being born. He's beginning his mission, which is to come into the world and bring light to the world. Come that he might ultimately give his life, that we might be connected with God. So my joy is really about what's on the inside. It's really predicated on what Christ has done for me. That's what it's really based upon. It's not based upon the gift that I open up on Christmas morning. That's happiness. It's a gift that was opened for me over 2,000 years ago that I have joy. One thing my family say, they don't see me get too excited about gifts. Well, it's kind of hard when you got the gift of gifts. When you realize that the greatest gift that I have is Jesus Christ and my relationship with God the Father. That's the greatest. How can you top that? I know. Y'all open those gifts on Christmas morning. You got a bunch of happiness going on. And that's okay. Keep on giving the gifts. But understand that the greatest gift was given over 2,000 years ago. Listen, in this text, they have made a decree that all of the region should be censored. They would do a census. And so because of this, Joseph and Mary, who were espoused at the time, they were not married at the time. Espousement was a legal contract between two parties, but it had not yet been consummated. And so therefore, they are in this unconsummated relationship. And so therefore, Joseph takes Mary with him back to the city of David. Joseph is from the tribe of Judah. And it has been prophesied that the Messiah would come through the tribe of Judah. But Micah also tells us that he would come out of Bethlehem. He would be born out of Bethlehem. And so Mary and Joseph make it, she's about due to give birth to the baby, but they go back to Bethlehem where they might be counted in the census. In the process of time, Mary begins to give birth. And they look for a place for her to give birth. They looked for a place to rest. But the Bible says that there was no room for them in the inn. So they find this stable. This is an area where they keep common animals, farm animals. This is how the Savior of the world would be born. He would not be born in a palace, because therefore he would be for the rich and the affluent. But he comes lowly. He comes humbly. He has a very humble and meager beginning. Jesus' birth, they take him and they lie him in a manger or a trough. A manger, a trough, is simply a place where you put food for the animals. And there we see the baby Jesus lying in this manger. And he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. These are just strips of cloth that they wrap him in, that they might be able to bring glory to God. This is how it was prophesied. This is what they said would happen. And there he is. He's lying in this manger. There's Mary, there's Joseph, and then this angel appears. Appears to the shepherds. And I'm amazed at how God works. Because God didn't send the angels to the king. Didn't send them to the president. Didn't send them to the Congress or the Senate. But he sent them to the ones who are out in the field, listen here, tending the sheep. He sent them to the occupation that Jesus would have, which would be the shepherd of our church, of his people, the lowly ones. Shepherding is a difficult job. It is a thankless job. It is a job that requires full commitment. You can't be a part-time shepherd. You must be a full-time when you're shepherding. Because sheep have a tendency to wander. And it takes a full-time shepherd to make sure that he knows how to hook them sheep in sometimes. Sometimes they have a tendency to want to stray. And he has his staff with a hook on it. He'll hook them back in. He'll bring them back in. But he appears to the shepherds. And he tells them, don't be afraid. They were fearful. They seen the angel of the Lord. He said, don't be afraid. Fear not. He said, for I bring good news that will cause great joy for all people. In other words, he's saying that I'm bringing the gospel, the good news. I know that all throughout human history, we've had news. There's never been good news like this news. You see, because the text tells us that he's one that will save us from our sin. God is the one that's going to do that. We depend on the government. We depend on each other. We depend on this and that and the other. But God said, listen, you need to depend on me. And I'm going to give you the means by which to do it. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in this infant babe right here. God comes to give joy. But joy can only be experienced when we receive it. You see, most of us look at the manger story, we look at it as a cute little story that's told at Christmas time. But there's great significance in this story because we see ourselves yet even in this story. Because we are the sheep. We are the one that follow Christ. The only way that, listen, you can have this joy on the inside is if that you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. You cannot have it just by having an intellectual astute to this story. You must receive this story down in your heart. You must realize and understand that God came, he was born that he might die for our sins. And many of us are confusing the two between happiness and joy. God comes to give us joy. And how do we know we have joy? We know we have joy that no matter what's going on the outside, we know that there's something on the inside that keeps us motivated, keeps us moving, keeps us blessing God, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. You see, happiness is good as long as things are happening well for us. But what happens when you're standing by the graveside of a loved one? Can you still say that you have joy? Can you still give God glory? Yes, even in the midst of that one that God has taken away from him, can you still say, Lord, thank you for what you've done? Or do you just lose all of it? Have a life filled with wishes, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Instead of just blessing God, thanking God for what he's already done. Thank you, God, for the time that I did have with them. But continue to give God glory. You see, joy is not connected to our physical being. Jesus understood this. He said, for the joy that had been set before him, he looked beyond the cross. In other words, he knew the cross was there, but the joy gave him the ability to be able to look beyond the cross. When he looked beyond the cross, he saw me. And it was because of the joy and the excitement and the love that he had for me, he endured the cross. I tell you, joy give you the ability to get over some tough stuff. Some difficult moments in your life. You say they just cut your job. Oh, well, God's got something else for me. I still got my joy. You can't take that from me. That's the good thing about it. You can't take my joy from me. It don't matter what you do, no matter what you say, I'm going to have joy because why? It connects me to God. And I'm not letting anything interrupt or stop my connection with God. As a matter of fact, there ain't nothing that you or I can do about it. Once I've been connected to him, there ain't no separating us. As a matter of fact, Jesus said there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There ain't nothing that can separate us. So I have this joy that's deep down on the inside. You may not know it. You may not be able to see it all the time. But you better believe that it's there. And every time I come up against the enemy, I let him know, listen, I got this joy. It's this joy that I have on the inside of me. You ain't no match for this joy. You may be able to kill my body, but you can't do nothing with the joy that I have. Because my joy is connected to God. You can destroy my God, my joy, you can destroy my God. You can't destroy him. He's indestructible. You can't destroy, you can't touch him. And much in the same way, you can't touch the joy that's down on the inside of me. Every now and again, it's on the inside of me. A little bit of ooze out on the outside of me. That's when I start filled with the Spirit of God. It start bubbling over, and every now and again, you may see me wave my hand. It's the joy of the Lord that's causing me to raise my hand, and a little bit more ooze out, and I start waving the other hand, and before you know it, I'm in full praise mode because I realize that it's the joy that's on the inside of me. It's bubbling over, and I can't help it. I just begin to praise God and thank God for no explainable reason. I just begin to shout and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. You see, because I remember the time when God brought me out and brought me through some stuff. So, Lord, thank you for bringing me out. Thank you for the joy that you've given me, that I can come up with anything. There's nothing that's too hard for God. Because I got the joy down on the inside. I got that hidden weapon that's on the inside of me. And no matter what you say, no matter what you do, I'm still praising God. Even if you don't see me, I'm still on the inside of me. I'm saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, I honor you today, God. I bless your name today, God. I worship you today, God. You're worthy of all our honor and our praise, God. Because it's on the inside. It can't help but come up sometimes. Sometimes it just spill out. I'm on the job. I'm in the office. And I'm the Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Glory to your name. You see, because this joy, it don't matter where you're standing at, where you're at. You can be in the grocery store, begin to praise God, begin to thank God for no explainable reason. You can be at a family reunion and begin to praise God for no explainable reason. You know, sometimes I just don't know why. I just begin to praise God. Because something hits me and activates that joy that's on the inside of me, causes a praise to break out in my spirit. But here we see Jesus lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Yes. Great joy connected to the good news. The good news is that Jesus came that he might give his life for us, that he might surrender his life for us. He didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. As a matter of fact, he made provisions before we even have this manger scene, because the Lamb of God was slain even before the foundation of the world. So Jesus came that he might die. He came that he might bring light to this world, that he might show us how to live a Christian life, a life that God could be pleased with, a life of faith. They didn't like that. So they marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Yes, they did. They marched him. They accused him of things that he had never done. They accused him of sin, but the Bible said he knew no sin. But he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. That's the important message right there, is the fact that Jesus gave his life. He shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for me. He died on an old rugged cross. Nailed him in his hand and nailed him in his feet, pierced him in his side, put a crown of thorns on his head. He suffered, bled, and died for your sins, for my sins. He gave his life, but he didn't stop there. They buried him in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. He gave his life for us, but he rose for our justification. He rose that we might receive the righteousness of God. He rose victoriously, conquering sin, death, and the grave. Because he is that joy. Because of this, I have joy. And he sits at the right hand side of the Father, praying and making intercession for us. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. My question is, will you be there? Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. This is an opportunity for you to experience the goodness and the grace of God. Is there one? Come on, sing it one more time. Joy. Joy. Down in. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. 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 Well, that's my Christmas speech. I'm getting y'all out of here. We thank God for it. Listen, going into 2025, I believe God. I'm believing God for some miraculous things. It's not predicated on filling this church up with people, but it's filling up the kingdom of God with new citizens. I'm gonna ask that you guys pray going into this new year's and pray all next year, because I just believe God is going to do something special. I believe that people are going to be set free. There are some folk in the church that have saved but still need to be set free. I'm praying that God will do that, because he is the only one that can do that. And listen, don't be offended by it, because there's some things that God had to set me free of. There were some things that I was holding on to. And God has told me, you don't have to carry that. He said that I died for that. I sacrificed my life for that. So you need to let it go. And there are some of us that are carrying a heavy burden. And God wants to set you free. God wants to deliver you from it. But the reality of it is that you've got to acknowledge it first. Some of us have been carrying these burdens for so long, towards we think that it's just a normal way of life. And there is a beauty and a wonderfulness about being set free. Because that's when you can really begin to experience the joy of God on the inside. So I thank and praise God. I'm asking you to pray. I don't know how many of us are still praying and fasting on Wednesday. I know that I've continued to do it. I'm every Wednesday I'm fasting and I'm praying. I'm praying for this church, and I'm praying that you would do the same thing, that you would join us in this fast, in this prayer on Wednesday, that we might be able to get some of the things that we're requesting from God. And it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with monetary. It has to do with kingdom souls. That's what it has to do with. So continue to pray with me. We're going to ask now that you stand to your feet. If our hearts are satisfied and we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and ask you to come down to the throne of grace, that we might be able to pray for you, pray with you. God honors the prayers of the righteous. And if you're not a prayer, that's one of the requirements, is that you communicate with God. Amen. Amen. Let us go before the Lord. Dear eternal and everlasting Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you for who you are, God. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would be able to experience the joy that's down on the inside. It's there because you put it there, God. But there are times, Heavenly Father, Lord, that problems and situations can block and even cloud that joy, Heavenly Father. It's there, God. We just have to release it. We release it by remembering what you've done for us. We release it by what you've promised to do for us. We release it by acknowledging that we will one day be with you. Will there be no more sickness? There'll be no more disappointments. There'll be no more sin. And God, we look forward to that day when you'll come back in the clouds with the shout and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall go and meet him in the air. But God, until that time, we'll occupy. And we desire to do your will, desire to do your way, God. I'm asking you right now, God, that you would touch these ones that have come. That you would bless them right now in the name of Jesus, God. And all of them have come for different reasons. But God, I know that you're a God that can meet them at their need, Father. You can meet them right where they are, Heavenly Father. So I pray right now, God, that, Lord, you stretch forth your hand Some of them stand in need of emotional support, emotional help, God. Lord, some are grieving a loved one, Heavenly Father, Lord, that has been taken away, God. And I'm praying right now, God, because all of us really understand what it means to have someone we love taken away. But Lord, let us rejoice in the fact that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So Father, help us, God, that Lord, yes, we might find even joy in this time, even in the midst of our missing and our grieving our loved ones. Let us find joy. Let us be excited about what God is doing. Now, Father, I'm asking that you'll prepare us as we prepare to go into a new year. Prepare our hearts, God. I'm praying right now, Jesus. If you tarry, Lord, and we make it, Father, into 2025, God. Let us leave some stuff in 2024 that we don't need to carry into 2025, God. Work on our minds and our hearts, God, that we might release, God, that we might be free from them. We're asking it right now. Now bless us as we depart from this place. Go to our various destinations. Keep us in your care, God, as only you can, Father. For no one can protect us and keep us like you can. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. In the mighty and the majestic name of Jesus. Amen and thank God. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing. Amen. Merry Christmas and bless you.